Today's shir is Masechta Bava Kama and Daf Lamed Gimel. We will begin two lines from the top of the Amid, in the middle of the line, with the words Rav Zvid. Rav Zvid Mishmei Derava Masni Laha. Rav Zvid is going back on what we learned in yesterday's Daf, on Daf Lamed Beis Amid Beis. We learned a memra, Amar Rav Yoisi Rav Chanina Chayiv Bedal Dvorm Upatr Migolos. And we had two pshatim to what Rabbi Yosef Rav Chanina was referring. Both of them were concerning the halacha of hanichnas lechanusa shel nagar. Somebody went into a carpentry store, v'nitza bekas, and a chip of wood jumped up from the work of the nagar, v'tavcha alpanav, and hit the person on his face. And on that, either it was speaking about nichnas bershus, he went in with permission, or nichnas shaloi bershus. There were two pshatim in the Gemara, but on that, Rabbi Yosef Rav Chanina said his din that he's chayiv in dalad dvorim and he's potter from galus. Rav Zvid, in the name of Rava, masni la aha. He learns that halacha of Rabbi Yosef Rav Chanina has nothing to do with hanichnas l'chanusa shel nagar, but rather, it is going on a separate halacha that we find in Masechta Makos on Daf Ches. Motzah prat lamamtzi. We have a pasuk in Dvorim, Perek Yutes pasuk hey, vasher yaves reu bayar. If somebody comes into a forest, lachzov eitzim, he wants to chop wood. Vinitcho yare bagarzin lichroso eitz, and he moves his hand with the axe in order to chop the tree down, and the metal part of the axe fell off umotza esreyu, and it found his friend vames, and that friend was hit with the metal part of the axe and he died. That halacha is it was done b'shaygeg, by accident. Hu yonus el achas orim ha'ela v'chay. He should run away to one of the ori miklat and he will live. So on that, the Gemara in Makos darshens, Motza prat lamamtzi etzatzmoi. What happened was, there was a man standing there behind the person who was chopping the tree, and the metal part of the axe fell off and hit him in the head, and he died. But this excludes lamamtzi etzatzmoi, meaning there was no one standing behind the person who was chopping the tree. And after the metal flew into the air, then the person who got killed came upon the scene, and that is when he was hit and he died. In such a case, the person is potter from galus. Mikan, Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. From here, Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov said, we will learn out, based on this exclusion of mamtzi es atzmoi, that there's no din galus. If somebody threw a rock from his hand, when the person threw the rock, there was no one standing in the area where the rock was going to fall. And then after the rock was in midair, somebody stuck out his head, and it landed on him and it killed him. Potter, the person who threw the rock, would be potter. That's what Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov learned out from Matzah Prat Lamamtzi. And on that, says Rabbi Zvid, in the name of Rava, this is where Amar Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Chanina, potter migolus. You're right. There's an exclusion when it comes to golus. But if he damaged the other person, then v'chayiv barba dvorim, he will be chayiv in four of the five. He will not be chayiv in busha, as we had in yesterday's Gemara, because it was Einim Eschaven, and Busha can only be Chayiv for Einim, when it's with Kavana, with intention. But he will be Chayiv for Nezek, Tsar, Ripui, and Sheves. So this is where Rabbi Yisrael Chanina said his din that Potter Migolos and Chayiv by Bordvorm. And Rashi points out why, in fact, is he chayiv bar bodvarim? Because there was a pshia, there was a negligence. He threw the rock in an area where people are walking about, even though at the moment that he threw it, there was no one standing there. But since people are walking about, he should have been careful, and he should have realized that someone is going to come there and get hit in the head and possibly get injured or die. And therefore, he's potter from golus, but he's chayiv because of his pshia in arbo dvarim. So now says the Gemara, Manda Masni Laha, the one who learns, in as Rav Zvid, in the name of Rav, who learns Rabbi Yossi Barab Chanina's halacha on this din of Matzah Prat Lamamtzi, and yet you're chayiv in our bod dvorim koshchen akamaisa. So certainly in the case of somebody walking into a carpentry store, the carpenter should have been careful and made sure that this person leaves the store without getting hurt. And he should be careful when he's doing his carpentry work that the person does not get hit in the head with a chip of wood. So therefore, if he's chayiv bar bo dvorim in the case of a rock being thrown in an area where no one is standing there, so certainly he's chayiv in our bo dvorim. When somebody comes into your carpentry store, you have to make sure that he doesn't get damaged. And if you weren't careful, then you have to pay the arbo dvorim. Uman demasni lo kamaisa. However, those who learn the halacha of Rabbi Yosef Bar Chanina on the first din, which is on Lamed Beis Amid Beis, which we learned in yesterday's daf of Hanichnas Lachanus Shal Nagar VeNitzo Bakas VeTov Chalponov. If you learned the halacha there that you're chayiv on Arbo Dvarim, Avalaha, but on this case of Matzah Prat Lamamtzi Potter Legamre, here it's less of a negligence because no one, when you threw the rock, no one was standing there. And therefore, you'll be potter legamri. Now, what does this mean, that you will be potter legamri? So here we have a machloikis between the Tur and the Rambam. The Tur in Chosh Mishpat, Simon Tav Chaf Aleph, is of the opinion that you'll be potter not only from Boishas, which is Einem Eschavim, but you'll be potter from Tsar, Ripui, and Sheves, but you will be chayiv for Nezek. However, the Rambam in Perek Aleph of Hilchas Chayv L'Mazik, Halacha Yotes, is of the opinion that the Mazik will be potter completely, either because of the Gzer Sakosev, Matzah Prat Lamamtzi, or it's an Oynes Gomer, and therefore the Meforshim have a question exactly what the rationale of the Rambam is, but that is the sheet of the Rambam, that you will be potter, as the Gemara says, Legamri, all of the Chamisha Dvorim will be potter. According to the Tur, you will be Chayv in this case for Nezek, although you'll be potter from the other four. Tana Rabbanan, the Rabbanan taught in a brisa. Poyalim shebo l'tfoyes charen mibalabais. Workers who came to collect their wages from their boss, from the employer. V'nachon shorish shebalabais. They came into the area where the balabais lives, and the shore of the balabais gore them. Or v'nashchen kalba shebalabais, or the dog of the balabais bit them. Umeis, and that worker who came to collect his wages, died. So the halacha is, according to the Tanakhama, potter. That the owner is potter from what? From kaifer. He doesn't have to pay kaifer. The Bach in Ois Aleph is quick to point out that Eina Chanami is potter from kaifer. Avol Mikol Makom, says the Bach, which we have on the right side in the right margin, Avol Mikol Makom Hashor Hu Beskila. As we learned, in fact, we learned the stuff together on Daf Chav Gimel Amud Beis. Even when somebody comes into your Rishus without permission and he is killed by your ox, you are potter from kaifer. You don't have to pay the Yorshim any kaifer because he came in without permission. But the shor is killed. And so the Bach points out, the Baal Bais is potter from kaifer, but of course we do not let this menace of the ox continue to live. He is killed. However, Acherim disagree with the Tanakhama, and they say, Rishon and Poyalim, Lutvoya Scharn mi Balabais. They have a right to collect their wages from the Balabais, and therefore the Balabais has to make sure that they're not injured or killed when they come to collect their wages, and therefore the Balabais, according to the Acherim, will be Chayiv in Kofar. So the Gemara wants to know exactly what is the case where you have this machloikis between the Tanakhama and the Acherim. Hey Chidami. If it was usual for the Balabais to be in town, he would walk around town. So my time at the Acherim. Why do the Acherim say that if the workers came to collect their wages at the house and they were killed, that the owner has to pay kaifer? They didn't have to come to the house. They didn't have a right to come to the house. They should have met the Balabais when he toured the city. So L'chayra, the Svara would say that the Baal Bayis should be potter. On the other hand, Idish Chiyach B'Bayis, if he did not go around town, he used to spend his time always at home, so then, of course, how are they going to get their wages unless they come to the house of the Baal Bayis? So my time at the Tanakama, what's the reason of the Tanakama who says that the Baal Bayis is potter from Kaifer? He has to realize the only way the workers can get their wages is by coming to my home. If therefore, I have to make sure when they come to my home that they are protected, that nothing happens to them. The Gemara answers, like Tzricha, begavra de shchiach v'loy shchiach. It must be speaking about a case where it's a person who sometimes he frequents his home, sometimes he frequents the city. And what's the case? Vikari above. The workers called out from the door, can we enter? Can we come in? V'amar lahu, and he responded, in. Yes. So what does yes mean? Mar sovar in ulta. One holds that yes means you come in, mashma. It's mashma that he's agreeing that they should come in. That's the swara of the acherim. And therefore, if they come in, they have to be protected. And therefore, if something happens, if they got killed by the dog or by an ox, then there is kaifer. Umar sovar Tanakama holds in, what he meant to say is yes, kum aduchtach mashma. Stay in your place. I don't want you. I'll take care of paying you in the city. I don't come into my house. And therefore, if they did come in and they got killed, the Baal Bayis would be potter from kaifer. Now, Tosfos points out that why do we have to say it's speaking about a case of a gavra de shchiach v'loy shchiach? Because if he was shchiach to be in the city, then it's pshita that when he said yes, he meant to say stay in your place. And if he was a person who was never frequenting the city, loy shchiach, Tosfos says, im kem vare ul tamashma. How do we get a machlokes between the Acherim and the Tanakama as to exactly, precisely what he meant when he said in? Did he mean stay in your place or did he mean come in? That could only be when he's shchiach v'loy shchiach. So then we can understand it in two ways. But if he was shchiach to go in the city, then certainly he meant stay in your place. I'll take care of it when I go to the city. And if he was not shchiach to be in the city, then he certainly meant come in. Or else how am I going to pay you? I don't go into the city. So then there would be no machloikis. If there is a machloikis, it must be speaking about a case of shliach v'loy shchiach. Tanya, we learned in a braisa, kemandi yomar in kum aduchtuch mashma. That it means stay in your place, like the Tanakama, and therefore if they came in and they got killed, he's potter from kaifer. The sanya we learned in a braisa, Poyel shenichnas letvoyos shchar mibal bayis. A poyel came in to ask his wages from the owner. V'noch chayshar shal bal bayis, and the ox of the bal bayis gore him. Or noshri cowboy, or the dog of the bal bayis bit him, and he got killed. Potter, the bal bayis is potter from paying kaifer. Afal pi shenichnas pershus, even though he came in with permission. So Taisa says that's why the Gemara understands that this must be a case of shchiach v'loy shchiach. Because if, for example, you're going to say it's shchiach that he came into the masa, into the town, so then how can you say it's nichnas pershus? If he always goes into the town, I'll pay your wages in town. I'm not giving you permission to come into my house. So if we call it nichnas pershus, it must be that it's not clear that he is always in the city. If it was clear he's always in the city, then it couldn't be called nichnas pershus. So it's a case of shchiach v'loy shchiach. Ask the Gemara, why in fact am I potter? Why in fact is he potter if the poel went in pershus? Why shouldn't the Baal Bayis have to pay koifer if he got killed? El olav must be, the kori above, it must be our case, that the poel called out from the door, can I come in? V'amalei in, he said, yes, ushma mino, in, yes, kum aduchtuch mashma. Yes, stay where you are, that I'll take care of it when I go into the city. So that's what it means, even though he entered Rishus, because it's a case of Shchiach v'loy Shchiach, so we could see a possibility that he's given permission to enter, and yet we say that the owner is potter from Kaifer, because he meant to say, stay in your place. Continues the next Mishnah, Shnei Shvor and Tamid. This Mishnah we'll discuss, as the Rush explains, the Rush gives here a number of klolim for our Mishnah. So the Rush says that our Mishnah is speaking about where two oxen gore each other and cause damage one to another, and they do it at the same time. Or one ox gores first, and the second ox gores much later. And therefore, we don't see that the second ox is retaliating to the first one. The first one did it on Sunday, and on Wednesday, the second one responded. If he wanted to respond to the initial attack of the first ox, he would have done it right away. So that's the case of our Mishnah. What would be in our Mishnah if Ein Echanami, the first ox, gored, and right away the second ox answered back? So then it would be totally in what we learned on Daf Chaf Amid Beis. We learned the rule, Kol HaMishana Ubo Acher V'Shina Boy Potter. That if you did something, if you, your ox did Karen, did something abnormal and attacked my ox, and then my ox retaliated, so the second ox is Potter. If our mission is discussing a case that they're Chayiv, they're both Chayiv one to another, the question is who, of our mission is who did more damage one to another, but they're both obligated one to another. It must be that either they're both fighting at the same time, or one did it on Sunday and one, the second one did it on Thursday. And now we have to figure out who damaged the other one more. But if one did it and the other one immediately responded, then the first one is Chayiv and the second one is Potter, as the Chazon Ish explains, because the first one brought it on themselves. Of course, if you fight, if you send missiles into southern Israel, you're going to get retaliated back into Gaza. That's how the world works. You brought it on yourself. So we don't consider the second one who's responding as being chayiv and hezek. The second one is retaliating for what you are damaging me. So then the second one would be potter, as the Chazon Ish explains. So back to our Mishnah. Shnei Shvor and Tam and Chachav Lu Zeh Zeh. Either they did it at the same time, or they did it many days one after the other. So now we have to see who damaged the other one more. The din is, Mishalman b'moyser chatzinezek. Now we're going to have this word b'moyser repeated a few times in the Mishnah. And we're going to explain from the Rush what this word exactly means. But let's first learn the dinim, and then we'll see what it exactly means. The main idea is that whoever damaged the other one more, since they're both tamen, and tam only pays chatzin ezek, so the difference between what one damaged the other, the one who damaged more has to pay chatzin ezek. What happens if shneim mu'adim? There are two mu'adim that were negeich each other. Mishalman b'moyser nezek sham. Then whatever one did more damage to the other, that difference has to be paid in full because a mu'ad pays nezek sham. What happens if echad tam ve'echad mu'ad? One is a tam who pays chatz nezek, one is the mu'ad who pays nezek shalom. Mu'ad b'tam. So if the mu'ad caused more damage in the tam, so the difference he has to pay mishalman b'moyser nezek sham. He has to pay the whole difference. Tam b'mu'ad, if the tam did more damage to the mu'ad, misham b'moyser chatzin ezek, then whatever he did more damage to the mu'ad, the tam has to pay chatzin ezek. V'chein shnei anashim. The same din will be with two people, shechavlu zeh bazeh. They were fighting each other at the same time, misham b'moyser ezek sham. They have to pay the whatever one caused more damage to the other, he has to pay nezek shalom, because adam mu'ad lo'ilam, there's no din of tam by an adam. What happens if an Adam hit a shore? Adam b'mu'ud, mu'ud b'adam. Both pay nezek shalom, misham b'moyser nezek shalom. Whoever caused more damage to the other, that one has to pay nezek shalom. Adam b'tam v'tam b'yadam. If an Adam damaged a tam and a tam damaged an Adam, so an Adam pays nezek shalom and a tam pays chatzin nezek. So if Adam did more damage to the tam, misham b'moyser nezek shalom, he has to pay the owner of the tam nezek shalom in the difference. Tam b'yadam. If the tam caused more damage to the Adam than the Adam did to the tam, misham b'moyser chatzin nezek, then the tam has to pay to the person whatever difference there is, only half, because tam pays only half. And on this, din Rabbi Kiva argues, Rabbi Kiva Omer, af tam shechaval b'adam misham b'moyser nezek shalom. We'll see in the Gemara Rabbi Kiva's rationale. He learns it out from a pasuk. There's a machlokes how to understand the pasuk here. But Rabbi Kiva says the whole difference between a tam and a mu'ud is only by shor shenagach shor. But by shor shenagach adam, then there makes no difference whether it's tam or mu'ud. Always the owner of the ox has to pay Nezek Shalom. On this, the Tana Kama disagrees, and the Tana Kama holds that even by Shor Shenogach Odom, there is a difference between Tam and Muad. And now let us see what the Rosh says in the Pshat in the word B'moiser. Let us take an example. For example, we have a Tam and a Muad. The Tam caused $40 damage to the Muad, and the Muad caused $100 damage to the Tam. The difference in the amount of damage is $60. So according to our Mishnah, the Muad would pay $60 to the owner of the Tam. He pays Nezek Shalom. Now this is a question, because how much damage did the Tam do to the Muad? He did $40 worth of damage, but how much does the Tam owe to the owner of the Muad? He only owes him $20, because the Tam pays Chatzi Nezek. So the Rambam in Hilchas Niske Mammon is of the opinion that the difference has to be in liability. The Tam's liability is 20. The Muad's liability is 100. So the Moiser is the Moiser of liability. The Muad's liability is more than the Tam's liability. How much more? $80. That's what the owner of the Muad has to pay to the owner of the Tam. The difference in liability. However, the Rosh, and he bases it on Rashi, says no. It's the difference in the damage, not in the liability. The difference in the damage. The Tam did $40 worth of damage. The Muad did $100 worth of damage. The damage difference is 60. And the Rosh is medayik that from the first Rashi on the Mishnah. The Moiser, let's learn the Rashi together inside. Shaman ma hezekai shalzeh yoiser al niskav shalzeh. Not how much I have to pay, says the Rosh, but how much was the actual damage? Uba oisai moiser, mishala misha hizik yoiser esachetzi. And in that damage, when we're speaking about a Tam, so then ain't chanam, you'll only pay half. But if it's a Muad, the next Rashi, Kalimer imu hizik es atam yoiser mishizikoy tam. If the Muad damaged the Tam more than the Tam damaged the Muad, not more than the Tam owes the Muad. The Tam only owes the Muad half because he pays chotzi. So the Rosh says clearly that Rashi stresses it's in the damage. That's what we look at. So therefore, let's go back to our example of the Tam and the Muad. If the Muad did $100 worth of damage to the Tam, and the Tam did $40 worth of damage to the Muad, the difference in damage is $60. That difference, the Muad has to pay to the Tam, Nezek Shalom, which will be 60. According to the Rambam, we don't look at the difference in damage, we look at the difference in liability. The liability of the Tam is only Chatzin Nezek, $20 out of 40. So and the Muad is $100. The difference is 80. According to the Rambam, you'll pay 80. The Rosh says that Tosfos in our Sugya L'Chora holds like the Rambam, because Tosfos in Divrei HaMaskil Shnei Shvarim says Tema, the Kula Masnisin Shein Tzrichimi. Tosfos tries to find what's the Chiddush of our Mishnah. We know all these Klolim, that a Tam pays Chatzi Nezek, a Muad pays Nezek Shalom. Obviously, whatever the difference is, that's what you have to pay. Either a Muad or Nezek Shalom, a Tam Chatzi Nezek. What's the Mishnah teaching us? Says the Rosh that according to Rashi Shita, there's a big Kiddush over here. According to Rashi Shita, it'll come out that the Tam, that the Muad, who damaged the Tam $100, he'll only have to pay 60. He won't have to pay 80. You would say that he should pay the difference between what the Tam owes the Muad and the Muad owes the Tam, which is $80, because the Tam only pays Chatzi Nezek. And you're telling me, no, the difference is not in liability, the difference is in damage. That's a big Chiddush. What's Tosfos looking for a Chiddush here? Tosfos gives a different Chiddush. This is a simple Chiddush. Must be, because Tosfos learned like the Rambam, that you give a difference in liability. So that's Tosfos' kasha. What's the Chiddush over here? I damaged you 20, you damaged me 100, so obviously you have to pay me the difference of 80. What's the big Chiddush here? But according to the Rosh and Rashi, there's a big Chiddush. that $20 that I damaged you, you're not going to get paid because I only have to pay 60. I don't have to pay 80. So it would seem that Tosfos holds like the Rambam Shita. So this is a fundamental machloikis in understanding the word bimoyser. According to Rashi and the Rush, bimoyser means whatever the difference in damage is, in that difference of damage, I have to pay you the entire nezik shown by a muad or chatzin nezik by a top. Begins the Gemara, Tana Rabbanan. What's the understanding of the machlokes between Rabbi Kiva and the Rabbanan, whether a tam has a din of chatzi nezik when it comes to a shor shenagach adam? There's a difference of how to learn the psuka. Tana Rabbanan, we've learned in a brisa. So the Gemara is going, the brisa is going to quote a pasuk, and let's first learn a few psukim, which will be nagei our Gemara, in that parsha, which is in Shmai's Perek Chaf Aleph, and we're going to begin with Pasuk Chaf Ches. The Gemara is starting with Pasuk Lamed Aleph. But to understand the Gemara, we have to go back a few psukim. The Pasuk begins with Tam in Pasuk Chaf Ches. V'chiyigach shor es isha es isha v'mei, sokol yisokol ashor, v'lo yachol es besor, v'al ashor naki. So if it's a Tam, there's no din kaifer, but you have to kill the shor. Then pasuk chavtes v'im shor nagachu matmal shosham. If it's a muad v'huad bebalv, he was warned v'leish merenu. He still didn't watch the shore. V'hemis isha yisha hashor yisakel v'gambal of yumas. What does it mean that the baal dies? It means the next pasuk lamed im kaifer yusha salov nasim pidyon nafshik kachal sheir yusha salov. So he has to pay kaifer to the yarshim. Now comes pasuk lamed alv, which is the pasuk that Gemara is quoting. Oy ven yigach oyvas yigach. You should do this like this mishpat should be done to the ox. So the Chachamim, the Tanakhama, learns this final pasuk as follows. So first of all, we have hazeh. Hazeh means this is a miyud. This and not something else. So the Rabbanan are not going to immediately address that miyut. We're going to see that later, what they're mamayed from hazeh. But right now, in fact, the Rabbanan are going to use this pasuk to be marbe. What do we mean to be marbe? Because what is the pasuk talking about? The pasuk's talking about misa. Oy ven yigach vas yigach, like the whole the psuk in which we began, vameis, v'chiyigach shores isha vameis. You killed someone. But since it could have said, without the words kemishpat hazeh, it could have said, oy ben yigach, oy bas yigach, kein ye asaloi. What is the kemishpat hazeh? So from that, we're marbed that the pasuk is not only speaking about misa, but the pasuk is speaking about nezikin as well. Kemishpat hazeh ye asaloi, which means, according to the Tanakhama, kemishpat shor b'shor. Whatever the din is when an ox scores an ox, which is a chilek between tam and muad, kach mishpat shor b'adam. So is the halacha when a shor hits an adam. Ma shor b'shor tam sham chotzi nezik, umuad nezik shalom. Afshor ba'adam tam sham chotzi nezik, umuad nezik shalom. So that's how the Rabbanu learned. That's why the Torah added the words kemishpat hazeh, instead of just saying kein yasalai, to tell you that this is a halacha not only by killing someone, but even by nizukin, there's also a chilek between tam and muad. So that's why our Mishnah said that if a tam hits a adam, he only has to pay chatzin nezik according to the chachamim. The same halacha like you have by a shore hitting a shore. Rabbi Kiva, I mean, he disagrees. Kamish, but hazeh, here's where Rabbi Kiva tells us hazeh is a miyut. What is hazeh memayit? We learned the psukim from Pasuk Chavches, and we mentioned that Pasuk Chavches is speaking about a tam. It's only in Pasuk Chavtes that we get to muad. So says Rabbi Kiva, hazeh, meaning the last psukim that you are dealing with, speak about muad, ketachton, v'loike elyon. It's like the last pasuk, which is speaking about muad, and not like the previous pasuk above in pasuk chavches ki yigach shoras isha es isha v'meis, which is speaking about tam. The halacha is that nizakin of a shor to an adam do not have the halacha of tam, like you have by shor versus shor, but rather it has the din of muad that you pay nezek shalom. They disagree with the chachamim. That was what Rabbi Kiva said at the end of the Mishnah. Af tam shechavu ba'adam, mishalom b'meiser, not chatzin nezek, but nezek shalom. Now we know that Mu'ud has two halachas different than Tam. One is it pays Nezek Shalom, the other is it pays min Aliyah, and not from Migufoy. Yachol Mishalom min Aliyah, you would think, just like a Tam when it hits an Adam, according to Rabbi Kiva, pays Nezek Shalom, so maybe there also should be the same din of Aliyah as a Mu'ud has. Talmud Loimer Ye'asa Loi, that's why the Pasuk says, the same mishpat should be done to it, means to the animal, Migufoy Mishalem, Ve'ena Mishalem and Aliyah. The Torah is telling us, according to Rabbi Kiva, that there's only one halacha that a Tam is like a Mu'ud concerning hitting an Adam, and that is Nezek Shalom. Balagabi, the halacha of Aliyah versus Migufoy, Loi tells us that it's still Migufoy, which would mean, as Rashi speaks out, that let's say the animal is not worth the hezek that was done to the Nizik Shor, it's not worth the moiser, then too bad. The Nizik loses because you can only collect Migufoy even when it hits an Adam and not Min Ha'aliyah, not from his entire estate. V'Rabbanan, according to Rabbanan, Zeh Lamali, the word Hazeh, Kemish, but Hazeh, we know what Rabbi Kiva uses it. Rabbi Kiva uses it as a Miyut, not the earlier Halach of Tam, but the later Halach of Mu'ud. But what did the Rabbanan? The Rabbanan say that the din of Tam and Mu'ud is by Shor Shenagach Adam, just like Shor Shenagach Shor. So what's the Hazeh being Memayit? Lepoitre me'arbo dvorim, that ain't a chanami, you have to pay Nezek when a Shor hits a Adam, but Tsar, Ripui, Sheves, and Boishes, that there is no, only a din by Adam versus Adam, but by Shor versus Adam, there's no halacha of Tsar, Ripui, Sheves, and Boishes. It's only Hazeh, it's only this din of Nezek, but not the other four payments. Rabbi Kiva uses Hazeh to tell me that Tom has the same din as Mu'ud. What does he use? Where does he notice halacha that Arbat Vorm you don't have to pay? Nafkale, he learns it from a different pasuk. The pasuk says, "May ish ki iten mum ba misoy." If a person puts a mum to his friend, so we learn out ish ba misoy, v'lo shor ba misoy, that only a person has to pay a chamisha dvorim, but a shor does not have to pay all five. He will only have to pay nezek. V'rabbanan, why don't they use this pasuk of Rabbi Kiva? Imiyahi from that pasuk of Rabbi, I would have thought tsar luchudei. You know what? Ish ba misa v'leishar ba misa. You don't have to pay tsar because tsar is not really a nezek. Tsar, you estimate how much a person would want to pay to undergo something more painful or less painful, but there's no really damages. Avol ripui shevis, but doctor bills or unemployment where it involves hezek, I caused you damage. Aim a leitin light. Maybe you should have to pay even by Shor Shenagach Adam. Kamashimlan, that's why it says Hazeh, to teach you know that the only thing you have to pay is Nezek, and you don't have to pay any of the Chamisha Dvorim. You don't have to pay Tsar, Ripi Shevis, or Boishes. Continues the next Mishnah, Shor Shavimon, Shenagach Shor Shavimasayim. A ox that was, we're speaking about a tum that was worth $100, that hit and killed an ox that was worth 200. The ain't a nevela yafa klum, and the nevela is not worth anything. Neitel is a shor. So the nizik takes the ox because it's a tam. So a tam has to pay half. The tam costs $200 worth of damage, and therefore he has to pay 100. The body of the tam is worth 100. So the nizik takes the shor. Says the Gemara, must need some money. Who's our Mishnah going like? Rabbi Kivi. He's going according to Rabbi Kivi. The son we learned in the Brisa. Yusham Hashor, Bibbezdin Divir, Rabbi Shmuel. Rabbi Shmuel is of the opinion, as we're going to explain in a few moments, that the nizik is like a balchoyf. He has a claim to the money of damage that was inflicted on his ox. But he doesn't have a claim to the body of the ox itself. It doesn't become his, according to Rabbi Shmuel. However, Rabbi Kiva Omer Huchlet Ashor. Rabbi Kiva is of the opinion that automatically, when there is this damage, the Nizik becomes a partner. There's an automatic transfer of ownership from the Mazik to the Nizik. Now, if the Mazik Shor was worth 200 and it's a short time and it only has to pay 100, so then, as there's a pasuk, that machras ashor achai v'chotzes kaspoi. Then they sell the $200 worth ox, and the nizik takes 100, and the mazik takes the remaining 100. If the ox, the mazik's only worth 100, so then the nizik takes the whole thing. But the point is, according to Rabbi Akiva, the nizik becomes a partner if there's $200 worth. If it's only 100, then he becomes the sole owner of the, there's an automatic transfer to the nizik. This transfer will only take effect once there's hamada bedin, once Bezin paskins that Reuven owes Shimon the money. But once you have hamada bedin, then retroactively from the moment that the damage took place, then it already belonged to the nizik. According to Rabbi Shmuel, it didn't belong to the nizik. But my kamiflagi, what is the argument between Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva? Rabbi Shmuel sava, Rabbi Shmuel holds, Baal Choyvu, that the nizik, from the moment that the damage occurred, has a lien on the mazik. He's like someone that the mazik borrowed money from the nizik. He owes money to the nizik. Vizuzihu the mazik, he has a claim against the mazik of a monetary claim. For Rabbi Akiva sovereign, no, he has more than a monetary claim. Shutvi ninu. He's an actual partner in the animal itself. Ukamiflgi b'hai kro. They're arguing in the following pasuk. Umachrus ashora chai v'chatsu es kaspoi. Till now we were speaking about our case of our Mishnah and the, when the Gemara brought the machloikes between Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Shmuel, that was all the same case, which is a shore that was worth 100, hit a shore that was worth 200, and the nevel is not worth anything, so the nizik takes the entire animal. And we said that's going according to Rabbi Akiva. Because according to Rabbi Shmuel, you don't owe my animal. I owe you money, so I can, Taisa says, I can be misalik you with money. According to Rabbi Akiva, that I'm a partner or a sole owner if there's only $100 to go around and you did a damage to my ox of 200 and it's a tum, you have to pay 100, so I'm the sole owner, you owe me the shore. According to Rabbi Shmuel, I can be misalik you with money. Now, in the case that we're learning now of this pasuk, umachres ashor hachai v'chotsu es kaspoi. So this is a case already different than our Mishnah. This is where I have an ox worth 200 that gores an ox that's worth 200. So now the tum has to pay 100, and the nevel is not worth anything, and the mazik's ox is worth 200. So the din is that you sell the ox, and now I have $200. I give 100 to the mazik, and I give 100 to the nizik, because the mazik owes the nizik $100. So Rabbi Shmuel Sover, who is this pasuk talking to? Lebedina kamazer rachmana. The Torah is speaking to the Beis Din. You should estimate what the animal is worth and sell it. Rabbi Kivas, in other words, if he has $100 cash ready, he can pay you on the spot. But if he doesn't have $100 cash, the only thing he has is the ox, so then you have to sell the ox and divide up the 200, 50-50, 100 each. Rabbi Kivas, however, you know who the Torah is talking to? L'nizik l'mazik. The Torah is speaking to the nizik and the mazik. Why? Because immediately when the damage took place, the nizik became a partner in the ox. So therefore, the nizik and the mazik have to sell it and divide up the $200. Ask the Gemara, my benayu, what practical difference is there? Lamaisa, what's the difference if Bezdin or the mazik and the nizik? The bottom line is they're going to sell the ox and divide up the money. So what's the difference? So Taisa speaks out in Divrei Maskil, Higdisha nizik ikar benayu. Taisa speaks out, we just learned enough gemara before. Could I give you money instead of the animal or not? For example, in our Mishnah, where the animal is not worth 200, the animal is only worth 100, and you owe me 100 because my animal is worth 200 and you did $200 worth of damage and a tom pays 100, so you owe me 100 and you only have assets of 100 in the ox. So according to Rabbi Shmuel, I can be misalik you with money. According to Rabbi Akiva, no, I own this ox. The Torah gave me ownership in the ox. It is a simple nafkamina. Taisa says, Ein echanami. The Gemara is just mentioning one of several nafkaminas. What's the nafkamina that the Gemara tells us? The nafkamina is, Higdishai nizik ikimanayu. before Hamad Abedin if the Nizik was Magdisha to Hagdish. If we go like Rabbi Shmuel, that it really belongs to the Mazik, and all I have to do with the Nizik is like I owe him money, as if I borrowed money from him. So the Nizik has no right to be Magdish, my animal that still belongs to me. Whereas according to Rabbi Akiva, Ein echanami, you'll have to wait till Amar Abedin. But once there's Amar Abedin, then retroactively from the day of the moment of damage, it already belonged to the Nizik. So if the Nizik was Magdishit before Amar Abedin, the Hegdish will be Chal, because this belongs to the Nizik. That's Nafkamina that the Gemara says. Boy, Minei Rav and Rav Nachman. Rav had a question for Rav Nachman. Machri Mazik to Rabbi Shmuel. Mao, what's the din? We were speaking about if the Nizik was Magdish. Well, I have a different question. According to Rabbi Shmuel, that says that the animal belongs to the Mazik, but he has a Shibud. He owes money like a Balchoy, like a Loiva to a Balchoy. What happens if the Mazik sold it before Hamad Abedin? What is the din? Do I say, Kivdom Rabbi Shmuel Balchoyvu Vizuzihu to Mazik Lei Mocher? That I owe you money, but the animal belongs to me, therefore I'm allowed to sell it. Oy Dilma, as we turn to Daf Lamed Gimel Amud Bet, is Kivin the Meshabed Leila Nizik, since the Torah made a shibud on this ox. For example, if I don't have money, then we just learned Halacha. Umachre es Ashar Achai, you have to sell the ox. The Torah did an interesting thing, which the Gemara is going to explain in a few lines. We never find a shibud on Metaltalim. We find shibud on karka, because a balchoyv is soymech das on a piece of property, real estate. He's soymech das, he's going to get paid. That's not going to be hidden. But metalton, which are hidden, a balchoyv is not soymech das. Here, I'm telling you what, according to Rabbi Shmuel, that it's considered as if he's a loiva, as if he owes money to the balchoyv, and the Torah made a shibud, a lien, on what? Not on property, on real estate. The Torah made a shibud on the ox. So, since there is this shibud on the ox, how exactly the shibud works, we'll see in a moment. But since there is a shibud on the ox, lav kol kamine, he's not able to sell it, because it's meshubit to the nizik. If he won't have money, he's going to have to sell the ox. He'll have to give the ox to the, either sell it in the case of 200 and split, or if it's only worth 100, he's going to have to give the whole ox to the nizik, so then he can't sell it. Armalei, he gave him an answer, einoy macher, you're right, it's not sold because of the shibud. Ask the Gemara Vatani, we learned in the Brisa, macher, macher, it is sold. So the Gemara answers, chayzer v'goyver, what I mean it's not sold is that even if the mazik sold it to the lekeach, the loiva has a right to go and demand that shore from the lekeach. Ask the Gemara, v'chimachish chayzer v'goyver, if the loiva, if the nizik can go and collect it from the lekeach, lema macher, so what are you telling me it's sold? It's not sold. He can go and collect it. The Gemara says it is sold for a temporary inyan. What is that? Lirijya, as Rashi explains, in the third line of Rashi, Shem Chorish by Lekeach. If till the Nizik went to the Lekeach to get back to shore, meanwhile the Lekeach used the shore to plow, Einoy Nois and Demeach Rishol and Nizik, he does not, according to Rabbi Shmuel, have to give money, pay the Nizik. For that much, the Mazik still had an ownership on it that he could sell it to the Lekeach, that the Lekeach doesn't have to pay to the Nizik. That's only according to Rabbi Shmuel. But according to Rabbi Akiva, that from day one, or retroactively from the time of Amar Abedin, it belongs to the Nizik, so then ain't the Chanami. When the Nizik collects it, you'll have to pay me for plowing. You used my... That's the way you use my shore. That's the way Rashi learns. However, if you look at the beginning of Rashi, you'll see an aleph over here. That aleph is the gra in the right side margin, says the gra. V'rambam v'rashba pirshu lachrish bar l'chatchila. The l'shalem b'lav hachi pater. K'moshenechta l'kamanda of tzadik v'avam ebeis. What is the gra saying? The gra disagrees. He says the Rambam and the Rashba disagree. Because according to Rashi, it comes out that you'll only be potter from paying for plowing according to Rabbi Shmuel. According to Rabbi Akiva, you'll be chayv. And the Gra is quoting this Gemara further on Daf Tzadik Vav on the base, that even a gazlan, who has to return the shore to the owner when he stole it. But if he used the shore, Reggie, if he used it for plowing, the din is he does not have to pay the payments for plowing to the person that he stole it from. So therefore, the Rambam and the Rajba learn that even according to Rabbi Akiva, you would be putter from paying. So what does the Gemara mean? What's the nafkamina here between Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva? The nafkamina is lechatchila. According to Rabbi Shmuel, not b'di evet, if you did it, who do you have to pay? Do you have to pay or not? That according to both you'd be potter. But lechatchila, according to Rabbi Shmuel, it belongs to the mazik in as much that till the nizik collects it from the lekeach can go outright lechatchila and use it for plowing. According to Rabbi Akiva, since this after all belongs huchlat ashor, there's an automatic transfer of ownership to the nizik. Therefore, lechatchila the lekeach should not plow. What happens if the lekeach did plow? He's not worse than a guzlin who lemaisa the din is does not have to pay to the. He will not have to pay to the nizik. Continues the Gemara. Wait a second. You're telling me that there's a shibud according to Rabbi Shmuel on an ox. Shma mina lova. If somebody borrowed money, which is what we're saying, the mazik is like a lova to the nizik, who's the balchov. Umochar, the Bach says not mocher, but mochar metaltalin, and he sold his metaltalin. Here, the mazik, who's the loiva, sold the shore, which is movable item. Bezdin goyven leimahem. You're telling me that the nizik has a right to go and collect that shore from the lekeach. Where do we find such a din? We find a shibud only by karka, not by metaltalin. And we're going to learn this gemara the same way we learned it on daf yud aleph amid beis. The way the Tumim in Chayshim Mishpat Simon Kuf Yud Gimel explained it, that this is all Tali, as we see here from Rashi, it's Tali on Smichas Das. The fourth line of Rashi, Shema Mina Bit Me, a question. V'hametaltun lav midi dekoy b'enei. It's not something that you could see. V'loi somech malva alayu. The malva is not soymech das. V'amai tarfina lumalekeach. Why is the din that you, the nizik, who's considered the Baal Chayv here, is able to grab the shore away from the Lekeach. Throughout Shas, we know that Metaltalin are never Meshubit for a Baal Chayv, only Karka. By Karka, when you buy Karka, you have to make a title search to make sure that there's no lien on it. Because that is an item that the Baal Chayv is Soymech Das to get repaid for. So if you didn't make the proper title search and you bought it and there's a Chayv on it, so then the Baal Chayv has a right to collect. But by Metaltalin, the Baal Chayv is not Soymech Das. And if so, you do have a right to buy it and you don't have to worry about any lien on it. Because there's no lien on metaltalin, because that's not where a Baal Chayv gets his payment from. And yet over here we see that the nizik, who has a din of a Baal Chayv, according to Rabbi Shmuel, is able to collect the shore, which is metaltalin, from the lekeach. The Gemara doesn't understand. Is that what you're telling me? Shma mino lova umachar, that if somebody borrowed money and he sold metaltalin, the din is that bezdin goyven loy mehem. The din is that bezdin will go and collect from the metaltalin. That's against everything we learned in Shas. The Gemara answers, shiny hossam, that this din is different. The command also apoytiki dami. It's as if they made an apoytiki. We had this before in Yud Aleph from the base, and Rashi explained that the word apoytiki means apoytei koi. You, the Baal Chayv, will stand here, and you will collect from this item. If you make this item as the item to be collected by the Baal Chayv, then even if it's metaltalin, he is soymech das on it. Ask the Gemara, that doesn't, okay, good. You're telling me that the Torah, when it says, Umachre Ashor Achai, that the ox here, there could be a lien on an ox, as if the ox was like a piece of karka. I understand, but I still have a problem. V'amar Rava, Rava said, also Avdoi Apoytiki Umachre Baal Chayv Goyvemet. If I made a servant, and we had this before on Yud Aleph Amud Beis, if I made my servant an Apoytiki and I sold it, then Baal Chayv could collect from it. But Shoyre Apoytiki, if I made my ox an Apoytiki Umachre, ain't Baal Chayv Goyvemet. The Baal Chayv cannot collect. And this is a case of Shore. How could you tell me over here that a Shore has a din of an Apoytiki, and therefore the Nizik can collect from the Lekeach? A Shore can't be an Apoytiki. The Gemara answers, Eved my time. Why does it work in a party on an Eved? Mishum de Islay Kolo. There is a Kol by an Eved. In other words, as we explained there from the Tumim, that normally Smichas Das is only on Karka. If you made an appointment, it could be on an Eved as well. But that's only an Eved because people know when an Eved is sold. The Eved himself could have relayed this information to the purchaser. You know, I'm an apoyteki. Somebody's going to collect the loan that my previous owner owed. They're going to collect from me. So there you are found at fault for not making the proper title search to know that there's a lien on this Eved. And therefore, if you went ahead and bought the Eved, the Bachoyv can go and collect. He was Soymach Das. It has a kol, so you were responsible to make sure that you found out that there's a lien on it. And if you didn't, too bad. You have to give it up to the Bachoyv. So by metaltulin normally, there's no kol. So if there's no kol, even if you made an appointment key, how did I know about it? I thought it's like every other metaltulin. Therefore, it's not my fault. Therefore, the Bachoyv cannot collect. But this shore, hainami this shore has a din like an oven. Kivin the nagach, since it did goring, kol. Stay away from this ox, people are saying. The Tura Nakhana Korolai, people call it, oh, this ox, this is a goring ox. So therefore, if you bought it, you certainly knew the reputation of the ox that it was a goring ox, and therefore you should have investigated whether it had a lien on it or not. And therefore, here is something where the Bachoyv was Saimach Das, and it had a coil, and therefore you're found at fault, and therefore the Bachoyv could collect from this particular shore that the Torah put a lien on. Tani Rab Tachlifa Bar Marava, we learned in a brisa that Rab Tachlifa, who came from, as Rashi explains, Marava means from Eretz Yisrael, he learned Kamei Rabbi Avuo Machroi Ein Machor Hegdeshe Mugdash. On the one hand, if he sold, we don't know who the he is, the Mazik or the Nizik, if he sold it, it's not Machor, Hegdeshe Mugdash, but if it was Magdish, it is Mugdash. Machor man, who sold it? Ilema mazik, if you're going to tell me that the mazik sold it, machroi ein machor man, Rashi tells us that the Gemara thought that it's not even machor l'raja. Before we said that according to Rabbi Akiva, it's not machor by the mazik, before Amar Abedin, after Amar Abedin, it's never machor. According to Rabbi Yishmael, before Amar Abedin, it's not macher forever, but temporary l'radja, you don't have to pay, the lekech does not have to pay the nizik for using the ox for plowing. The Gemara thought that macher ain macher that we say right over here means it's totally not sold, even l'radja. So who's that going like? That must be, if you're telling me that the mazik, it's totally not sold, even Larigia, must go like Rabbi Kivi, the Omar, Huchla Deshor, that it's an automatic transference to the Nizik, and therefore, the Mazik selling is not good on a long-term basis, it's not good even on a short-term basis. And according to Rashi, he would have to pay. According to the Ram and the Rajba, he wouldn't have to pay. But L'chatchila, he shouldn't plow with this ox. So that's going according to Rabbi Akiva, because according to Rabbi Shmuel, it should be machri machr, at least temporary. V'higdish mugdish, then it continues and says it is hegdish, asin l'Rabbi Shmuel. That's going according to Rabbi Shmuel, domer yusham hashar bebezdin, that it doesn't belong automatically to the nizik, and it has to be estimated in bezdin, and it still belongs to the mazik. That's why if the mazik was magdish it, it's hegdish. So how could we learn this brisa? The first part's going like Rabbi Shmuel, second part's going like, the first part's going like Rabbi Akiva, second part's going like Rabbi Shmuel, because according to Rabbi Akiva, you couldn't be magdish it, the mazik. It belongs to the nizik. Ella, you have to say that who is doing the selling and being magdish, not the mazik, but the nizik. So let's analyze it again. Machre ain't a macher. It's not a mechira. Money, who's that going like? If the nizik sold it, that must be going like Rabbi Shmuel. Because Rabbi Shmuel holds, until the Amar Abedin, it belongs to the mazik. So if the nizik sells it, it's not good. Higdish and mugdish, it's a good hegdish if the nizik did it. Asnil Rabbi Akiva, that's going like Rabbi Akiva, that Huchlet Ashor, it belongs to the Nizik, and it could be Magdashit. So again, the first part is Rabbi Shmuel, second part Rabbi Akiva, it's not consistent, we don't have Pshat. To get more answers, let's go back to the first approach. Loyal Mazik. Really, the Mazik is doing the Hegdish, the Mazik is doing the selling. V'divra kol machre ena macher. When it says machre ena macher, that's according to everybody, except it'll be two different pshatim. It can go like Rabbi Akiva, and it means it's not on a long-term basis sold. It's not on a short-term basis sold. Even l'radjia doesn't work because it belongs to the nizik. According to Rabbi Akiva, machre ena macher is not like you thought in the beginning, even l'radjia. L'radjia on a short-term basis, it'll work. It means on a long-term basis, afilu Rabbi Shmuel, da mishabda leila nizik. Since it's mishabda to the nizik can go ahead and collect it from the lekeach on a long-term basis. Einachanami on a short-term basis, l'radjia, it will work. So this phrase, machre ena macher, could work both according to Rabbi Kiva's interpretation and according to Rabbi Shmuel. What about the next part? Hegdesh mugdash. So that's good. If the Mazik is doing it, it's good according to Rabbi Shmuel. We have a problem with Rabbi Kiva. That could work a full of Rabbi Kiva. Why? Mishum de Rabbi Avua. Because of the Allah of Rabbi Avua. Am Rabbi Avua, Gzeirah, there's a Gzeirah, Shema Yoimru, Hegdish, Yaitzu, Bloy Pejin. That Hegdish will go out without being pointed. So Rashi refers to the Gemara in Erech and Daf, Chaf Gimel Amid Beis, and it's speaking about a person's Magdish is the Chosim, and it had on a Ksubas Isha and a Balchoiv. And we're talking about, as the Toysus in Divrei HaMaskil Shunda Ravua says, it's speaking about a Baal Mum, so there's no Kedushas Aguf, it's only Kedushas Dam. Because if there be a Kedushas Aguf, even though there's a lien because of the Ksubas Yishra de Baal Chayiv, we have a rule that Hegdish Chometz V'Shichur Mafkin Midei Shibut. That removes the Shibut. That's stronger than the Shibut. However, here we're speaking about where it's Kedushas Dam because it's a Baal Mum. So that is not Mafkimi de Shibut. The Shibut trumps over the Hegdish. So really the Hegdish is not Chal if a person did it. However, the halacha is that the one who was Magdish it has to pay a little bit something, just that people should not say that something was Mugdish and it was made Chulin without any pidgin. So in that sense, even according to Rabbi Kiva, who holds that it belongs to the Nizik. And the Mazik's Hegdish means nothing, but before the Nizik takes it from Hegdish, the Mazik who was the one who was Magdish it, he will have to be pointed for a small amount, even according to Rabbi Kiva. So according to Rabbi Shmuel, the Hegdish is a good Hegdish because it still belongs to the Mazik. Even according to Rabbi Shmuel, that it belongs to the Nizik, it is Hegdish in the sense that you're going to have to pay a little bit in order to be mafkiyat from Hegdish. Tana Rabbanon, we learned in a Braisa. Sure, Tam Shehizik, actually Amid Badin, Machrim Machrim, Gdeshi Mugdash. A short Tam that did damage before Hamad Badin, if he sold it, it's a good selling, and if he was Magdish it, it's a good Hegdish. Now, this must be speaking about the Mazik is doing it, because we're going to learn further it's after Amar Badin, it doesn't work. If it would be Shal Nizik, if the Nizik would have done it, then of course after Amar Badin, it belongs to the Nizik. It would work. It would be a good Mechir. It would be a good Hegdish. Even after Amar Badin. And we're going to learn in the Braisa that it's not a good Hegdish, not a good Mechir after Amar Badin. So it must speak about the Mazik. So that's where after Amar Badin, it's not a good Mechir. Before Amar Badin, it is a good Mechir. It's also going according to Rabbi Shmuel, because if it would be going according to Rabbi Kiva, then it would not be a mechira at all, even kaidem hamar b'din. If the mazik does it, kaidem hamar b'din wouldn't work. So it's going, speaking about the mazik, and it's going according to Rabbi Shmuel. And as the Gemara will later say, the macher is for l'ridja, and hegdesh or mugdish is for what Rabbi Avua said that we just learned. You have to give a little something. Shachtoi, if the mazik shachted it, Vinasti matana, or he gave it as a matana. Masha asasi, what he did is acceptable, and we're going to learn further exactly what these words mean. Misha amad badin, what happens if it's after amad badin? Machroi ain't a macher. If the mazik sold it, it's not a good mechira. Hegdesha ain't a mugdish. It's not a good mechira even l'ridja. Hegdesha ain't a mugdish, it's nothing. It belongs totally to the nizik. Even according to Rabbi Shmuel, once there's amad badin, it belongs totally to the nizik, and therefore you don't have to give hegdish. You don't even have to give a little something because everyone knows it belongs to the nizik, and the mazik had no right to be magdish it. So there's no gzeira because of Rabbi Avua. Shachter v'nas matana. If now the mazik shachter or gave it as a matana, loy asav leklum. He did nothing. And again, these words we're going to explain further in the Gemara. Kadmai bal chayv svig bioy. What happens if a bal chayv went ahead and collected this shor, Bein Chavat Shalei Hizik, whether the debt to the Bachoiv transpired before the Hezek of the shor, Bein Hizik or the Hezek of the shor transpired Ad Shalei Chav before the loan, Loy Asav Alei Klum, what the Bachoiv grabbed the shor means nothing, it goes to the Nizik. Because the Nizik by a tam can only get paid from the guf, so the guf goes to the Nizik, and again, this will be explained more in the upcoming Gemara. Muad shehizik. What about a muad that did damage? Bein shamed bedin, bein shalei amed bedin. Doesn't matter before amad bedin or after amad bedin. Machroi machr. The mechir is a good mechir because it belongs to the mazik. There's no lien on the guf hashor to the Nizik. Hegdeisha mugdish. Shachtav and asim matana masha asa asi. It is a good shchita. It is a good matana. If the Baal Chayv went ahead and got it first, Bein Chavat Shalei Huzik, whether the Baal Chayv was before the Hezek, Bein Hezek Shalei Chav, or the Hezek was before the loan. Masha Asa Asui, what the Baal Chayv did is done, he keeps it. Why? Because here the Nizik can't claim, I have a precedent because I can only collect from the guf. No, lefishen mishtamel min aliyah. By muad you pay from the estate. So therefore, the balchoyv can tell the nizik, go and collect from the rest of the property of the mazik. You don't need to get this particular shor, as opposed to tam, where you have to get this particular shor. Now the Gemara is going to explain the brisa that we just learned. Amar mar, we learned before. Macherim macher. It's speaking about the mazik was moicher. Koyim amar b'din. How does it help? L'rajya. It doesn't help long-term because the Nizik can collect, but L'rajya, it helps on a short-term basis. As we learned before, Hegdesh and Mugdash, that's again, Mishum de Rabavua. According to Rabavua, the Mazik at least has to pay a Dover Muat. Shachtav and Nasim Matanam, Asha'asa'asa'i. So now the Gemara is going to analyze this. Bishlam and Nasim Matanam, Asha'asa'asa'i. I understand if the Mazik gave a Matana, it's considered a good Matana, not long-term, because the Nizik has a Shibud on the Guf by a Tam, he has a Shibud, and therefore he's going to collect it from the Makabal Matana. But temporarily, Larijia, for the plowing, it is considered a good Matana. He doesn't have to pay the Nizik for the plowing. Ela Shachtoi, by shachting it, where there is no concept of Rijya, so what does it mean, Masha Asa Asri? That what? That the Nizik cannot collect at all from that animal? Lacy, I'm sorry, let the Nizik go and collect from the flesh of the shor. The Sanya, we learned in a Brice. Chai, it says in the Torah, Machta Shor Chai, Ainli El Chai. I only know Shor Chai, Shachtam Anayin. How do I know that the Nizik can collect even from the animal once it's geshachten, it was slaughtered. Tamaloymer, umachros ashor. It could have said umachros achai. Why did it have to put in the word ashor? Mikol makoim, which means even if the shor is dead, you still sell the dead shor and the Nizik will get what is coming to him. So therefore, what does it mean? Masha asu asui legabi shchita. Amar Rav Shizbi leNitzchel lepchas shchita. Because of the shchita, the animal is worth less now. It's only worth its flesh, but it's not worth as much as a live ox. And since the Nizik can only collect from the Guf Ashor, and the Mazik now caused the Guf Ashor to be worth less, that damage that the Mazik did now to what was Meshubit, to the Nizik, he doesn't have to pay for. Amrafa Nerei Roshua, Zayser Meres, what I learned from here is, this is coming to say, Hamazik Shibudi Shachaveri Potter. If I damage something that was, there was a lien on to you, I am Potter. Groma Ben Ezakin is Potter. And even if you say this is Garmi, which means a Vare Hazeka, this man the armor holds that Garmi is Potter. If I'm just destroying a shibbet to you, something that's a lien to you, and I'm not letting you cash in on that lien, so for doing that, I am potter. Ask the Gemara, what does Rav Huda Rabbi Yishuv have to tell us that for? Pshita, that's what the words say. No, Mao, the same I would have thought, Hussam over there by the shechting of a shor, who the Amrlei loy chesetik loy midi. Where it's only a shibud, he could say, I really didn't do anything to cause you a loss. The Amrlei zika ba'amu d'shachtim enoch. I took the wind out of the ox. It's the same ox, the same flesh, the same bones. The only thing is I took out the life spirit. So if it would be mamish a hezek, if it would be la'achra marabedin where it belongs to the nizik, and I would be doing it then the mazik has to pay. But here where it's only something that according to Rabbi Shmuel, this is all according to Rabbi Shmuel, it's not owned by the nizik, it's only a shibud on the shore, so there, if I just took out the wind, and I was only a grum or even a garmi, that would be enough to say that I am potter. Avol ba'alma, but if I damaged your property, which was a lien for somebody else, maybe over there l'chayiv. Maybe there it's different. I should be chayiv. Kamash malon. That's what Rav Huna Rav Yeshua is telling us. Not only is it a halacha by a shore where I took out the air of the shore, the life force of the shore, but even where I caused direct damage to a sada. But this sada was a lien to somebody else on a loan. I am potter for damaging your lien, even when it's a direct hezek to the karka. Ask the Gemara, Hanami Rabba Amra. Rabba said it, and Rashi learns Rabba was an Adam Choshev, and an Adam Choshev like Rav or Rabba, we can ask as if it's written in a Mishnah. If Rabba said it already, what do you have to say it for? Where did Rabba say it? If somebody burns the shtoris of his friend, Potter, say here he's causing a loss, something that is used to show a lien on somebody's property. Once the shtar is burnt up, then that lien gets destroyed as well, because you have no proof that you owe him money. So, and yet you're potter. Garmi is potter according to this man d'amar. Mao, the same I would have thought, hosum hu d'amar le'nir ba'amar kaloi minach. Over there you could say, I only burnt up a piece of paper. Aval heichel d'chavar b'boyer v'sichel d'amaris, but where he dug up pits or trenches or vaults, l'chayiv, over there where it's not just a piece of paper, but it's actual damage to physical property that is nicker that can be recognized, I would say over there you're chayiv. Kamash malon, no. Dahach over here by shechting the shore. Command the chaver barisich no moris. This is the exact same case as digging up pits, trenches, and vaults. Dami, it's compared to v'ka'amer masher asasi, and it says what he did is done, and the mazik doesn't have to pay the nizik for destroying that which was given over as a lien, even when you're causing direct damage to the shore as you are to the property by digging barisich no moris. You're still potter. And now we explain the last halach of the Braisa. Kadmu balachayvus v'gbiu, in the case of Tam, if the balachayvus went ahead and they collected, bein chavach lehizik, whether the chov from the, to the balchov preceded the hezek, bein hezek at shalechav, or the hezek preceded the balchov, lo yasu leklum, what the balchov did is nothing, and the nizik is allowed to collect from the shore. Lefisha and Mishtam al Megufa, because you only pay by tam from the Gufa shore. So ask the Gemara, Bishloi mehizik at shalechav, nizik and kadmu, in the case where the hezek happened before the chayiv, so then the nizikin was first, so by right, it makes sense why what the balchayiv did is nothing. Aval chavat shalai hizik, but where the chayiv came before the hezek, balchayiv kaidim, he's first in line. So why do I say that the balchayiv has to give up his right of collection to the nizik? Why can't the balchayiv collect the shore if the balchayiv's chayiv came first? And now we go to lamedalad amedalaf. And wait a second, says the Gemara. Vafilu hizik at shalai chav. Even in the case of a hezek which preceded the chayiv. But still, balchayiv kadim. The fact of the matter is that the balchayiv went ahead, jumped the gun, even though his lien was second, he jumped the gun and collected it first. So you're telling me he has to give up that right. L'chayra, we could prove a machlaikis that we have in Ksubas, of Tzadik Dalit. Whether mashagava gava or mashagava loigava. Shema mina balchayiv mo'ocher. A later balchayiv, shekadam, who jumped ahead in line, the gova, and he collected, even though he was second in line of collection. But he collected at first, masha gova loy gova. L'chayri, you're telling me in that case, that masha gova loy gova. So, L'chayri, we could prove that machlaikis from what you're telling me. So the Gemara says, no proof. Loy, l'mei melach masha gova gova. Really, I'll tell you what the person collects second in line is collected. So why over here does the Balchayv have to give it up to the Nizik that he can collect? The shiny hussam here by the Balchayv who was typhus the shore, the Amalei, because the Nizik can say to the Balchayv, Ilu Gabachava, if this shore was by you, if you were the owner of the shore and your shore gored, wouldn't I have collected it from you? The high tour of this ox, the askin that was mazik me, mine mishtama, that's the only place that I can collect it from. The Torah made a lien on the shore. So therefore, he has a better claim to this than the Baal Chayiv. The Baal Chayiv can collect from elsewhere. The Nizik can only collect from the Guf Hashor. Therefore, even though the Baal Chayiv jumped the gun, or even in the case of Nizikin, where the Nizikin preceded the Chayiv, so certainly it makes sense that the Nizik should get it. But even where the Nizik was secondary, or the Nezik was first, but the Baal Chayiv jumped the gun. But the Nezik always has the taina that this is the only place they can collect from. So Tosfos says, I don't understand the first part of the Gemara here. The Gemara is saying, if it would be by you and it would have done the damage, then I would have collected from you. Of course, because then the Baal Chayiv would have been responsible. He didn't watch ashore. But the facts of our case are not that way. The facts are that it was the Mazik shore that damaged, and the Baal Chayiv collected his Chayiv. The Baal Chayiv shore didn't do the damage. So what does the Gemara mean? Ilu So Tais says, Einechanami, the real taina of the Gemara is the second taina. The Havitura, the Askin, Minei, Mishtal, Amna. That this shore, he's just like exaggerating a little by saying, if it would be by you, I'd collect from you also. His main point is that my place of collection is the shibud that the Torah put on this shore. You, Baal Chayiv, can collect from elsewhere. I only have migufoy, the Thomas Mishal migufoy. So that's why, even if your Chayiv was before my Hezek, or my Hezek was first and you jumped the gun and you grabbed it first, we're always will say, Mashagova Gova. But in this particular case, you have to give it up because this is the only place that I can collect from, and therefore I get precedent and it's coming to me first.